Welcome to the Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 176, The Final Girls.
Who will survive this podcast? Not me, by the way. Chaos is looking at me. Just gonna say that. If you see me missing in the next couple weeks, tell the police it was Chaos. That's creepy. That's not helping your case at all. Hey, Carnage.
Hey, okay. Chaos. You called me Carnage, and then I said, hey, Chaos, in return.
Reverse, I know.
Roll it back.
Hi, Chaos.
Hi, Carnage.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm using my soothing voice tonight.
Are you trying to calm me down?
Yes, so you don't kill me. That would be preferable. Thanks so much.
I'm not going to kill you.
Yet. See, I know. That's why I'm using my soothing voice. Hello, dear listeners. If you're hearing this.
Hi, everyone.
It might be the last time you hear from me.
If you're hearing this, Carnage is still alive.
As of right now.
As of this moment. We can't say for certain when the episode is published if that'll be the same.
Wouldn't it be horrible if I died in between now and the episode's being published? I am traveling to New York tomorrow. I could die in a car crash. Just saying.
Don't jinx yourself.
I'm not going to. I'm good.
But yes, that would be horrible. Thanks for bringing me down.
Sorry. I thought I'd make you laugh a little. I don't know. Got a better sense of humor or something. I don't know.
Not everybody else has the extremely Galosian humor that you possess.
I know. It's not fair. I can't find anyone that likes my humor, all my humor. It's very hard. It's very difficult. It's very dark in my world and lonely.
Yeah. So, anyway, on that note, I'll just say that we are the Mostly Podcast at Night.
Mostly.
We are two best friends of 20 years who bicker and banter our way through a different podcast each week. We take turns picking the flicks, sometimes out of a general desire to see the movie or share it with others, and sometimes out of prevenge or revenge, depending on how we feel at the moment when we're picking the movie. Because that's how our friendship works. It lives in the hashtag Marianas Trench of Hate, where we have hashtag friendship goals and cat cafes and roller discos and an octagon.
It's fun down there. Just join us.
Yeah, join
us.
It's
kind of like hell, but more water.
A lot more water. And it's very cold. So that's how we roll. And also, I will say, spoilers ahead and expletives ahead. You have been warned.
I was caught out. I'm not ready. This week, we watched the cast pick The Final Girls. It was done in 2015. It was PG-13, not for lack of trying. And it was an hour and 31 minutes long, or 92 minutes, as they will say. And it got a 6.6 on the IMDb scale. What about the tomato meter?
So glad that you asked, because you see, the tomato meter is sitting at a 73%. Critics' consensus, The Final Girls offers an affectionate nod to slasher tropes while adding a surprising layer of genuine emotion to go with the meta amusement. Audience score, 70%.
Nice.
Yeah.
Should we do a little casting?
Let's talk about the cast. All right, so Max Cartwright was Thaisa Farminga.
Yes, younger sister of Vera. I thought it was her daughter because there's a 21-year age gap, but it's actually the daughter of Vera Farminga.
You mean sister.
Yes, she's the sister. I thought it was her daughter, but she's her sister. She was in American Horror Story, The Bling Ring, and 6 Years.
Nancy was played by Malin Ackerman,
known for 27 Dresses, Trophy Wife, which I'm really sad they canceled that, Rampage, and The Proposal.
Kurt was Adam Devine,
from Modern Family, Workaholics, and all the Pitch Perfect movies. And if you've never seen him act with Rebel Wilson, you are really missing out, because they are good together.
Are they? Hysterical. Lots of chemistry.
They're so wonderful. I'm going to make you watch Pitch Perfect one of these days. It's fucking hilarious. So.
Okay, there's my long-suffering voice, as I know that is inevitable. Duncan was played by Thomas Middleditch.
He was in The Wolf of Wall Street, Godzilla, and The Campaign.
Chris Briggs was played by Alexander Ludwig.
Question.
Yes.
Did he not look like he could be a Skarsgård?
I didn't have that thought at all.
He belonged in the Skarsgård family. Okay, I did. I must have issues. Okay, he was in The Hunger Games, Bad Boy for Life, and also Final Girl, different from this movie, just similarly named.
Yeah, it's weird. There's a few Final Girl movies. In fact, didn't we do the Final Girl movie that you're talking about?
Not the one that we're talking about, no.
Oh, I thought we did.
Mm-mm. We did a different one.
See, there you go. So Vicky Summers was Nina Dobrev.
Most known for The Vampire Diaries, but also in The Perks of Being a Wallflower and Dog Days.
Gertie Michaels was played by Aaliyah Shawkat.
Arrested Development, Whip It, and The To-Do List.
Loved her in Arrested Development and Whip It.
Me, Fuke.
Tina was played by Angela Trimber.
She was actually in Trash Fire. I don't know if you remember that movie. We did that movie eons ago. With,
yes.
Adrian Grenier.
Yes, I remember Dark Trash Comedy Fire,
and,
actually.
She was in Double X, Psychopaths, and Halloween 2, the Rob Zombie Halloween 2 as well.
Oh, nice. Okay, I thought she looked really familiar, mm-hmm. so that would be why. She was hilarious, by the way. I loved her in this movie so much. Paula was played by Chloe Bridges.
She was in Mike and Dave, Game Over, and Camp Rock 2.
And Blake was played by Tori N. Thompson.
Weird. He was in Me Without You, which was one movie. He was one of the main leads in the movie DC Sniper. And then ever since then, all he's done since Final Girls was like one episode or two episodes of shows here and there.
Hmm.
Hasn't done much.
Hmm.
But interesting.
Well, I liked him in this.
I did too. Do you want a short little summary?
Yes. Can we please have one of Carnage's famous 5-second summaries?
Okay. Actress dies. Daughter goes to event honoring actress's most infamous movie. And gets thrown into said movie and things go awry.
Things go very, very awry for her. And all she's trying to do is escape a burning building. I mean.
Come on now. What's that all about?
All I know is I'm really glad this doesn't happen in real life.
That'd be awesome. What are you talking about? So, how are you talking about?
You want to go back? You want to cut your way through a screen and end up in a slasher film that
Why
you have
not?
To
That'd
then
be fun.
Live through?
If I die, I die. I'm just saying it'd be fun to end up in a movie. It's kind of like if you were seeing, you have it, Pleasantville. It's kind of got like whispers of Pleasantville where they end up in the screen and they end up in the black and white TV show.
Haven't seen it.
I know you haven't because it's like drama comedy type thing. It's Reese Witherspoon, Tobey Maguire back in the day. But it kind of has flavors of that where they get thrown into the TV show and have to work their way out.
Mm.
But with a slasher twist.
Yes.
I love the slasher twist. So it starts off, if I may, kind of like Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it's very Friday the 13th, actually, yes.
Counselors, summer camp, getting naked, dying.
Dying when they have sex.
Perfect. But we find out it's a movie. Boo. But Nancy, should we just call her Nancy in this? Because I know her... Her name is Amanda in
the
real life.
The actress is Amanda, and she plays
is Nancy.
The character Nancy. Let's just call her Nancy.
Okay, because that's what they refer to her in this whole movie. So you cut to, I don't know, 16 years later?
Yeah, about.
Yeah. And she's struggling. She's a struggling actress, which I'm really not surprised.
I'm going to tell Malin you said that.
No, shut up. Don't tell her. I said that. I didn't mean her. I just meant... Nancy and Amanda.
You know? Oh, okay.
I'm just saying because you did Camp Bloodbath.
Camp Bloodbath 1 and 2.
And
well,
that's what they focused
on. She only did Camp Bloodbath 1.
Yeah, she didn't get
She didn't even make it into 2.
That's pretty sad. So she struggles. She's got a young daughter named Max, and they're driving, rocking out to Bette Davis Eyes, which reminds me of Austin Town always.
You mean Austin Land?
Yes, that one. Shush.
I know. That song always reminds me of Austin Land as well.
That one and Nelly's Hot in Here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they're driving down the streets and Amanda / Nancy gets distracted because Max has dumped drink on her photo. What are they called? Headshots?
Her headshots.
And she flips her car. She gets hit by another car. It does like a pit maneuver and rolls her.
Rolls her car.
And she dies.
And she dies.
Because she's not the final girl.
She's from a really good part of Encino, so it's okay.
Flash forward to 3 years later, where Max is in school with, she's living with her Aunt Pearl. She's got her best friend Gertie, who's stepbrother Duncan. And she's got a love interest in Guy.
Chris?
What's his name? Chris, thank you. And, of course, his ex-girlfriend, Vicky, is in the mix, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Duncan is a huge Bloodbath, Camp Bloodbath fan. And he convinces, he blackmails. Extortion? I don't know. What would you call
that? It's not blackmailing. He just says, look, I'll do all of your coursework for the class you're failing if you agree to come and to come to this showing of Camp Bloodbath 1 and 2.
Bribery.
Bribery.
It's bribery. Yeah. It's a B word. I knew it was close though, right?
There you go. You knew it was one of those illegal things.
I love illegal things. I know my illegal things well.
You certainly do.
Anyway, so he convinces her to come. Convinces her, wink, wink. And they're smoking in the theater and drinking in the theater, and somebody brought a machete. A real machete.
A real machete, not a prop machete. Okay.
Because apparently this is Rocky Horror Picture Show, but for slashers.
Apparently.
I kind of want to go to that. That'd be fun.
I'd go to it.
Yeah, bring your own machete.
Bring your own machete. P-Y-O-M.
So things go awry in the movie theater, and alcohol spills, which is then lit on fire, which lights up the curtains, which then a machete drops, and Max picks it up, and Max, Duncan, Gertie, Chris, and Vicky cut a hole through the screen to get to an exit back there. Don't tell anyone else. Let everyone else die in the movie theater. It's burning.
Yeah, way to go.
Rude.
Rude.
I'm not friends with you guys anymore. I'm just saying. That's just rude. I'm probably dead, but I'm also still not going to be friends with you anymore. You know.
Yeah.
And they end up in the movie.
Yeah, they end up at Camp Bluefinch. Well, they end up outside Camp Bluefinch, and the beginning, the VW bug from the beginning of the movie shows up with Tina in the front seat asking them directions to Camp Bluefinch, and they all stare at her like she's crazy. And she stares back at them like they're crazy, and they go on. But then after they sit there a few times, with every 92 minutes, this VW bug shows up and they stop and ask the way to Camp Bluefinch. They realize if they want to get anywhere, they're going to have to go on through the movie, basically. So they say, yeah, we're counselors too. And they pile into the van and they all head to Camp Bluefinch.
Which is full of bad 80s fashion and jokes and slang. And it's just an 80s love fest.
It really is, which I appreciated.
I do too. I do too. Did you know that was a Girl Scout camp they were at?
No, but that doesn't surprise
me. It's a Girl Scout camp. Except for the one cabin, the big cabin, they actually had to construct it for the crew.
Mm.
And they left it for the Girl Scouts because they didn't have the budget to tear it down. So how nice, bonus.
So the Girl Scouts got an extra building out of it.
And didn't have to sell any cookies for it either.
Nice. You know, it's great that the Girl Scouts get a break once in a while like that. Because usually, like I remember when I was in Girl Scouts, every time we went camping, we did not have nice campgrounds.
No.
No, not at all.
Crappy tents. Platform tents, usually.
Usually, yeah. But we didn't even stay in the platform tents because they were so crappy. We stayed in, like, the lodge.
Oh, nice. You got the lodge?
Yeah.
You bitch. No, I'm just kidding. We always got the platform tents that were rotting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You had to worry about raccoons and stuff.
Oh, yeah. They were they were awful. We stayed in the lodge.
Oh, my God. The stories we could
tell. We didn't sleep outside.
So, of course, they get to Camp Bluefinch, and Nancy wakes up, and, of course, Max has this thing because it's her mom, but it's not her mom.
Right.
And she's the hot girl, but she's the shy girl with the clipboard and the guitar. So funny. I don't know.
Just... Who's going to have sex and die.
Yes. Which Max makes it her purpose to keep her mom from having sex.
Yeah, so that she won't die. Yeah.
It's, what are you, my mother? Pretty close. Somewhat. There's some kind of funny thing. They think that they could take the keys, the van, and just leave, and they think that's their way out, but...
But Kurt is a douche canoe.
He is our douche canoe.
He is our Chad.
Even more so than Billy. I mean, he's just the fucking Chad.
Yeah, well, Billy's the villain, so Billy can't be the Chad.
But... I know, but still, I just... I hate Kurt more than I hate Billy.
Okay.
When Kurt dies, I laughed. I loved it.
Kurt, anyway, Kurt's like, yeah, you can have the keys to my van, and if you can find them, and then he chucks them into the surrounding meadow, and they go looking for them, but of course they can't find them.
What's the end game there? He's got to leave eventually, dumbass.
I know. He just screwed himself.
Well, when they're in the woods looking, they find the first kill, which is one of the counselors who just we didn't bother with. I don't even remember her name. And not a hitchhiker, but a hiker.
Yeah, a hiker.
Who was looking for town, and they meet cute and then hook up. And while they're hooking up, that's when Billy arrives.
Billy shows up.
And Duncan thinks that because they're not part of the movie, they can't be hurt.
That Billy won't mess with them, yeah.
Because Billy just looks at him and walks away, and he's like, oh, this is so great. And then, of course, Billy throws his machete and gets Duncan in the side.
And Duncan falls over, and they all scream and run away. So they run. Friends. They run back through camp, and they try to leave. They try to run out of the camp, but every time they do... Every time they leave the frame of the movie, they come back in like the way that they came. They just do like a circle.
It's like Groundhog's like, where are you going? Where are they going?
Where are they going?
Where are you going?
Hey, you're back. Where are you going? Hey, you're back. Where are you going?
Oh, it reminds me of like No Escape Room, like the
yeah, the loops.
The loops. But this one's a funny loop, so it's okay.
Yeah, it was funny.
It's fine. Soothing voice.
You're like, now chaos, don't start thinking about No Escape Room.
Well, Duncan, before Duncan was macheted, he revealed that Paula is the final girl in this movie.
Yeah,
she's the one
Duncan's,
you gotta stick to.
Duncan's kind of our Marigold.
He is, because he's the one that tells everything. Yeah, I would call him our Marigold.
Yeah, which is from our third episode, Last Shift, where Marigold comes on screen, spouts exposition, and then leaves again. And that's basically what Duncan does.
So they're going to stick with Paula, but they're also going to try to stop everyone else from having sex. Good luck with that.
Because every time somebody does, Billy shows up, and they don't.
Or anytime someone takes their shirt off, like in Tina's case.
Right. Anytime there's boobies.
I love Tina. Why? Because they're not big? What does he have against my boobies?
Because they're not big? She's great.
When they don't mention Billy at first, so they're just trying to prevent everyone from doing their own thing. And then when Nancy's going to have sex with Kurt and Max stops it, that's when it's like, it's okay, we got to tell them about Billy. And they have their little flashback scene. And of course, when Nancy starts talking about the flashback, the core four or five, whatever we have four at this point. Four at this point, because Duncan's dead. The core four get revert. You know, they go back in time to the flashback of the story where the camp counselors, the other kids had cornered Billy into this outhouse, and the camp counselor to get him out threw firecrackers at him
into the outhouse, burning him severely all over his body.
Yes,
that was smart.
Love
that. That was amazing.
More Chads.
People are. We've got so many Chads in this movie, technically, yes.
So then once Nancy stops, to, you know, gets to the end of her story, they're brought back into present day 80s film.
Yeah.
I guess is the best way to say it. And everyone freaks out that Billy's actually there. So Paula and everyone's going to take off. Paula and Kurt get into her car And first they drive away, and they Duncan comes out of nowhere, be like, I'm okay.
I'm alive. I'm not dead. And then they immediately smash into him.
And run him over. And then Paula crashes the car.
Into the pole of the sign that says, Welcome to Camp Bluefinch. And then Kurt goes flying through the windshield because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And he dies. And they're like, oh, thank goodness Paula's still alive. And then suddenly her car bursts into flame because Paula's supposed to be the final girl. Well, she's dead now, too.
Crap. Now we need a new final girl. And they go through them. Well, you can't be you because you're not a virgin. It can't be you because you're the quiet, shy one, you know, going through each one. So it's got to be Max, apparently, is what they determine.
They determine, yeah, Max is the only virgin. She's got to be the final girl.
I love that when Kurt dies, though. I got to comment on that real fast, where he kind of, like, the way he's bent over. It's just so great. I love it.
Yeah, he, like, lands face first on the ground, and his legs are, like, bent up over his head.
There's actually a scene in the end, which was cut from the movie, where he's in cast. Like his legs are in cast, his arms are in cast, his penis was split into three, he says.
Yeah, well, that was a joke. But
the part that was cut out is, like, Duncan says that the writers liked him so much they brought him back for a bloodbath, too, and that's why he showed up in the hospital.
Oh.
So that's right. but they try to do a Home Alone type thing where they trap, you know, they booby trap the house.
Yeah.
The cottage lodge. And they put Tina in this. They put her in big wellies, a life jacket, and oven mitts.
Yeah, and they, like, duct tape oven mitts around her hands so that she can't take her clothes off.
I love Tina. She's adorable.
I know. She was cracking me up. Like, she was just so funny. And then when she takes the Adderall, she gets into Vicky's Adderall and takes the whole bottle of pills. And she should need a stomach pump, but instead she just gets really, really hyper.
And she does this, it's time, so she's the bait, so she does this, like, striptease to lure Billy there, and she's, like, it's, like, frantic and just, it's just crazy.
She's just, yeah, she's frantic, she's writhing and undulating and on hyperspeed, like she's being fast-forwarded. It's insane. It's hilarious.
Where Angela, the actress, actually took, like, 6 Red Bulls before
is that what she
and
did?
And that was none of that was choreographed, that was all her. So I love her even more for that.
I love her so much more for that. Oh my gosh.
She does it, and she flashes her breast reluctantly, and yep, that's when Billy shows up. But unfortunately, she panics, and she's supposed to stay there until he gets closer, but she panics, and she turns away and trips right into the bear trap.
Bear trap, just head right on her head.
Oh,
head in the bear trap. Really sorry, and to Tina. Bye, Tina. We miss you.
But Billy comes in, and they knock a totem pole into his chest, which it kind of puts him up on the door with all these antlers, like, kind of sticks him up there.
Yeah, it causes him to fly backwards into the door where they've hung a bunch of antlers, so he gets stuck to the antlers as though he were being thrown against them by a butcher bird.
So Billy thinks they're in the clear. I'm sorry, Blake thinks they're in the clear. And he goes down to try to get the machete so Max can kill him.
And then he gets stabbed in the chest by Blake.
Poor Blake. We liked Blake, too.
We liked Blake, too, yeah.
He didn't have a big thing, but we liked him. So they retreat to the kitchen and upstairs. Vicky and Gertie retreat upstairs. The others retreat to the kitchen where they got flaming arrows.
Yeah, they shoot him with flaming arrows. And then he chases them upstairs where Vicky and Gertie try to pull a bucket down on top of him, but it gets stuck. And he upends a bookcase on top of them and stabs Gertie with the machete. So they're like, just leave us, just go. And Vicky manages to get the bucket unstuck, and it pours alcohol down onto Billy, which causes him to completely be engulfed in flames, which, boy, deja vu for that guy, huh? He probably wasn't too happy about that.
No, probably not. That's a horrible way to
So they all go him. Yeah, they all go out the window, and he follows. And here's another funny moment, because Nancy's like, what's going on?
It's slow motion. So, like, the next montage of them running away is all in slow motion. And they finally are able to put a creek between them, and Billy, when they get the idea to do a flashback.
Do a flashback to get away from him. Yeah. So Nancy says the flashback story of Billy again, which takes them back to the 50s in black and white. And he chases them again. And they find, then he disappears and they find young Billy and they follow young Billy to a cabin that Nancy's never seen before. And then they find old Billy again. So they end the flashback and it takes them back to the creek.
But actually they pick up old Billy's machete because he drops it during that too. So that's when Max is able to get possession of the machete, which they're able to bring back from the flashback somehow. Like, any of this makes sense. Just a little part there.
Yeah, don't know. I didn't even notice that they grabbed the machete, so.
Oh. Chris is then stabbed.
Yeah, Chris gets stabbed.
Poor Chris.
And Max tries to fight off Billy, but she realizes she can't because Nancy's still alive.
Well, and then Billy takes Nancy and, like, runs off with her.
Right.
So Chris and Max end up scrambling away to this, like, church.
Right. She leaves Chris in the church and she goes after Nancy.
Because she knows where Billy went.
Right. Billy went to the cabin that they saw Billy go to in the flashback.
Which, in this old cabin, is the first counselor and the hiker.
Yeah, the dead bodies. For some reason,
he drugged them back there. Nobody else, but he drugged them back there.
Yeah.
And then Nancy tied up.
So she unties Nancy. Billy shows back up. She and Billy struggle for the machete. She gets stabbed with a hunting knife, a small one. When she does get the machete from Billy, or she's still got the machete from the flashback.
Yeah. It's so heavy though for her. Like, she can't even wield it.
Right. She's like, this is really heavy.
Which is important later.
Yeah.
But they're able to get away from Billy. Like, Nancy gets Billy off Max, and they're able to run back to the chapel. And right. That's when they have this really poignant moment that Nancy realizes for Max to be the final girl, she's got to die.
Right. And that's Max and Nancy had bonded, and Max was like, you can change your fate, and you can come live with me, and you can go be a teenager and go to college and follow your dreams, basically. But Nancy's like, no, I realize now I've got to die for you to be the final girl. And Max doesn't want her to, of course, but Nancy convinces her this is how it's got to be, which is very sad.
It is sad. I almost cried a little because it is. You do get connected to these characters.
You really do. I have to give them props for making you connect to these characters, because they weren't just like fodder, which is usually what they are for me.
Yeah, even the side ones, like Tina and Blake, like, you like cared about them.
Yeah, you did. I was sad when Tina died. So it's funny because Nancy goes, it's funny and sad at the same time. Nancy goes outside and there's this big thunderstorm backdrop, which is really cool looking.
It's amazing. Like the effect, like, I know it's effects.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's like this blue fog going in the bottom part of the screen. And then you've got like this orange and red thunderstorm. The visual effects are just amazing.
It was really pretty. It was a really pretty thunderstorm.
It was, yes.
And Nancy goes out there and Betty Davis Eyes plays and she dances in the yard and takes her top off so that Billy will show up. And Billy shows up and kills her. Sad. Very sad. Shed a tear for Nancy.
But as soon as Nancy dies, though, Max all of a sudden wheels that fucking machete. Like it's like something clicks then, because in the movie that's the final girl.
Right.
She fucking wields that machete like a baton. Yeah. Like there's nothing.
Yeah.
And then starts the Matrix-esque, like, part of the movie.
Yes.
Where you still have got this amazing background, this amazing storm in the background. But Billy will kick Max and she'll like fly back like 30 feet and then just hop up on her own 2 feet. It's very, that's the only way I can describe it is Matrix-esque because.
She does a kip up.
Yeah, thank you. He throws her knife and she's able to arch back and the knife just whizzes over her head. And it's just.
Yeah, very Matrix-y that part.
And she eventually is able to kill him. She decapitates his shit.
She does decapitate him, yes. And the movie ends. The credits roll. They play against the sky. Chris comes out. He's okay. Well, he's injured, but he's still alive. And they hug. And they're so happy that it's over. And then, like, we fade out. And then we fade back in. And they're in the hospital.
Yes. I was going to say something really fast.
Go ahead.
Just going back a little bit, like, when they do, you were saying about the credits rolling.
Mm-hmm.
When they do, like, the flashback, it'll say summer 1955 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. The car ran into Billy. That's how they got the machete in the flashback.
Yeah.
The car ran into Billy, and the words just go flying, too.
Yeah, that was funny.
I don't know. It just kind of just very.
It amused me. It was, yeah, it was, like, everything, like, they could see the flashback title, the summer 1957 or whatever it said, and they had to step over it. It was pretty funny.
But like you said, they're back in the hospital at the Max wakes up first. She sees Chris lying next to her and she hears them talking about these voices talking about tapioca pudding. You've had 30 things of tapioca pudding. They don't even like it. She pulls back the curtain and it's Duncan, Vicky, and Gertie. They're alive. But they do have their wounds from the first movie.
So it was real, but they're alive. So they're all excited. They think that they're back they're back home. They think everything's going to be okay. And then all of a sudden they hear the ch-ch-ch, ma, ma, ma. And they're like, oh, crap, what the hell? So they stick their heads out into the hospital and they see a nurse and a doctor fooling around. And they hear the noise and they're like, oh, no. And there's like, there's a tab.
And a gremlin.
There's a can of tab, a Rubik's cube, and a gremlin. And they're like, oh, no, it's still the 80s. And then they turn and Camp Bloodbath 2, the title for Camp Bloodbath 2 comes up and the door to the hospital shatters and here comes Billy rocketing through the door with his machete and what's his name? Duncan. Mm-hmm. Duncan's like, oh yes, Bloodbath 2. This is even better than the first one.
He has no
he's kind of an idiot.
End movie. I like it. They have an outtake scene. Like the outtakes reel. I love an outtakes reel. You don't see it a lot in horror movies.
Yeah.
And it's horror comedy, but you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, it was still funny. It was very funny.
So this movie was actually written by a couple, MA14 and Joshua John Miller. And Joshua Miller wrote it because he kind of wrote it on his own experiences because his dad was actually Jason Miller, who played Father Carassus in The Exorcist. Am I saying that right? Carassus?
No, Carass.
Carass.
Yes, he was dealing with the death of his father.
Yeah, so that was part of it. And he was actually, on one of the scenes, he was actually a lot of the writing in this movie, they were actually on Adderall, which made them bring in Vicky's Adderall, not addiction, I would say, but like her Adderall usage.
Yes.
And that,
her
that's
Adderall
what,
abuse.
Yeah. So, but yeah, a lot of the stuff was homages to the slashers. You have Tina, like from Friday the 13th. You have Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street. Like just different, like the way they kind of wove different homages into it. I thought was interesting. So,
mm-hmm.
And that this movie, like the movie Camp Bloodbath was 92 minutes, just like this movie was 92 minutes.
Yep.
So pretty clever.
Pretty clever.
Pretty clever.
Everything was so meta. Meta.
So what did you think? Because this is not your first time watching this movie.
Yeah, well, I watched it when it was on Showtime. And I was like, oh yeah, we can do that for the podcast. And, I liked it. But the one thing that bothered me was that, like, Malin Ackerman does not look as young as her daughter. Like in the movie, when she's playing Nancy, she does not look as young as Max.
No, there's 16 years difference. I mean, there's no way to young her down. She's just always going to look like 32. I mean, in her late 30s.
I know, but it just took me out of it the whole time. It was just like, she doesn't look young enough to be a teenager. Every time they would bring up that she was supposed to be a teenager, it would take me out of it.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. You didn't do it.
I feel like it is, though.
And that part drove me crazy. But I really liked it. I liked that you cared about the characters. I liked that it actually made me care about the characters, because usually I don't.
Mm-mm.
Especially with slashers, because with slashers, I always root for the bad guy. And this time I didn't root for Billy, actually.
No. Well, you didn't get a whole... Well, yeah, I didn't root for Billy either. You did get his backstory. I was going to say you didn't get his backstory. I'm like, you did get his backstory, though. As much as you do of anyone else.
Yeah.
As much as you do as Michael Myers, as much as you do as Freddy, you know.
Even more of a backstory than Jason gets.
Oh, yeah. True.
And I still root for Jason every time I watch Friday the 13th, so.
Do you?
I do. Well, I mean, not in the first one, because he's not the bad guy in the first one, as any fan will know. But you know what I mean.
Hey, in Scream, they didn't know that. That's why Drew Barrymore had to die.
Well, she's dumb, and she did deserve to die for not knowing that. Oh, my God.
Anyway. It was worth a rent, I think.
Yeah, so we rented it this time because it's not on Showtime anymore. Now it's on Prime, and it's on several different places streaming, but you have to rent it anywhere that you see it. But I thought it was worth the rent, for sure.
I agree. I like the nostalgia of the 80s stuff. I mean, it's so, like, hokey 80s, too. Like, the Where's the Beef comment and the I don't know, the New Wave stuff. I just
mm-hmm. So is New Wave real? Yes, New Wave is real. You're not.
Poor Blake. He just wanted to be part of the New Wave.
Yeah, and speaking of that, the script was originally optioned by New Line Cinema, but the studio wanted to eliminate all of the deep character moments and the mother-daughter plot.
It would have just been another slasher then.
It wouldn't have been stupid. Nearly as good, but eventually it wound up being produced by Sony, and they liked the emotional core, but they decided to tone down the slasher movie aspect so they could get their PG-13 rating. Which, honestly, I would have liked an R rating for this movie.
Well, and the director did fight for it, and the writers did too, but ultimately they were very satisfied with the cut. And yeah, it could have had more, but I think it was kind of good the way it was. Yeah, I could have used more blood and gore, but
well,
I think it was good, well-balanced, I think.
It was, and I will say that, the original slashers, there weren't a lot of on-screen deaths, so mm-hmm. It makes sense that there wasn't a lot of gore, because the original slashers didn't contain a lot of gore, so I guess I have to give it that.
Yeah, because that is ultimately what they're, you know, kind of harkening back to.
Billy Murphy's origin story, his, and being set on fire are all references to The Burning. From 1981.
Have you seen that one or no?
No, I have not.
Might have to go on our
but
list.
I think I'm going to have to. Because the character, the villain in The Burning is apparently Cropsey, which is something that is also the name of an urban legend guy. And I wonder if he's supposed to be the same guy.
Oh, maybe.
Because there's an urban legend based off of, like, a real dude, and they called him Cropsey, so I don't know if it's the same guy or somebody else.
With Billy, and just going back to Billy, too, for a second, his mask, they had so many different ones. I love the one that they ultimately, like, you see the most is kind of, like, that Greek thing. It reminds me of, like, the mask you see, like, Greek plays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had one, though, apparently. You only see it in one scene, like, through a window, but they caught it, the Eugene Levy mask, because it had, like, huge eyebrows. I love Eugene Levy.
Nice. Me too.
Do you have anything else to add, or should we kind of just rate it?
The car crash and explosion at the camp was done with practical effects. That's pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
I know that the sky was digital, but I like that that was practical, at least.
Yeah, me too. I love it when they do explosions with practical effects, because it always looks cooler.
Yeah, definitely. I thought for sure the one that played Paula was...
Apparently, Chloe Sevigny was supposed to play Paula, but then there were scheduling conflicts.
Mm-hmm. I like the one that did play her. And she wasn't even on another screen for that long. You know, she's more badass, though, than Chloe could be, I think.
She was
Chloe's
really...
like a waif.
Yeah, she was really badass. I really liked her character, even though we only got to see her for a few minutes.
We were watching the trailer, I think, a little bit before. Or was the trailer of the movie that they were watching?
Mm-hmm.
As part of the movie. I don't know. It's so, like, in my head. I thought Paula was Stephanie Beatriz. I can't remember her last name. She plays Rosalita on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. But that's not her name on Brooklyn Nine-Nine either.
What's her name on Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Rosa.
Rosa. I don't know where I get Rosalita from. Rosa. I thought that was her, and I was so excited because I love her so much.
It would have been cool if it was her.
Awesome Paula.
Because she's such a badass.
I think her age is a little bit off, but I don't give a shit. Everyone's age was off on this, so.
Yeah.
Don't give a
Everybody's fun. Was. What can you say? I mean. So, yeah, why don't we rate it?
All right. You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
I'll go first since it was my pick, I guess. Okay. I'm right up there with the critics. I'm going to go give it a 7. I think it's a solid film. It was funny. Like I said, I connected to the characters, which I don't normally do, and I liked that. I still think they could have tweaked it here and there. There were some little things that bothered me, but nothing overall that was too terrible or that would knock it down too low. I'd watch it again.
Okay. I'm going to go higher. I'm at 8.142. I think it's worth a rent, worth a buy. I think it's good. I will definitely watch it again. Might buy it. Not sure yet. Might force the family to watch it. It is good. I enjoyed it. I like the balance. I like the humor. I like that it had some heart, made me care about the characters, but it still had the slasher. I love the ending, even though the critics are apparently mixed on the ending. Yeah, but I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
Good pick. I don't say that often to you, but good pick.
Thanks.
I don't have any fan fiction. It's the sad part because I don't know if this is that well.
Well, then
known.
Let's make one up.
Because there's only 39,000 users on IMDb that scored it. So, but what do we want to make it up?
So after the events of this movie, would go right into Camp Bloodbath 2, which apparently takes place at the hospital, just like the second Halloween movie did.
I want Kurt to die first, since he's in that. In a horrible, horrible death. Can we have that happen?
Yeah, I think it's only, you know, it's actually like a respectful, fitting, like not insulting to kill him off first. I think it's I think it's good to do that. I think he deserves it, and not a, like, he deserves it, like a, he deserves that. Because, yeah.
What happens at the end of Camp Blood 2, though?
At the end, I'd like to think that Max makes it.
I like to think they all make it. Go back to their real life.
They get back out into the real world. Well, it's kind of boring, though, if they all just make it.
Come on. Well, Vicky off. How about that? And Duncan. I want Gertie to make it, at least.
Okay, Max and Gertie can make it.
What about Chris? Chris is okay.
Yeah, I liked Chris all right.
Duncan and Vicky can die.
Okay, Max, Gertie, and Chris make it.
Yay! And they come to find that the movie theater burned and 150 people died there.
Wow, that got dark real fast.
Are you surprised? It's me.
No, I guess I'm not.
Should we pimp and get the fuck out?
Sure. So we are part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Morbidly Beautiful is your place for all things horror. That's morbidlybeautiful.com. Go check it out. And excuse me. What else? We are on all the social medias. We are on Twitter, Facebook. We have a Facebook community, and we are on Instagram. Primarily in our Facebook community, and Instagram is where we lurk. And our social media maverick is Maverick. She's also the community moderator. Our marketing is done by Carnage. Our editing is done by Chaos. If you'd like to support us, we'd really appreciate a 5-star review. It goes a long way to getting us noticed by other people and gets us new listeners, and that's always really appreciated. So do that for us. We'd really appreciate it. If you want merch, we have a merch store that'll be linked in the show notes, where you can get all kinds of things. So check that out. And that's it from me. So I'll just say goodbye from Chaos, and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage. And as always, we are filmed in front of a live studio audience of soothing cats. Purr.
No, they're psychotic.
Lies, all lies. They're soothing. Listen to the sound of my voice. We will make you go to sleep and then kill you.
Oh.